smoking for me. My wife got a little bit of the Montezuma's revenge.
Oh, boy. Where'd you go?
Down to Mexico.
Well, that's what you get for going down there.
That's right. I know it.
But you made it, so that's half the battle.
Yeah.
How's she doing?
Good.
Okay. Is this a good time to talk to you?
Sure.
Okay. I'll ask you, I don't know, probably 10 or 12 questions, and if you just answer them as long or short as you want to, they're pretty generic.
Who are you?
Pardon me?
Who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah.
Brent Kelly?
Yeah.
What do you mean, who am I? I'm a horse doctor by trade.
A what?
A horse doctor by trade. But I do interviews for Sports Collectors Digest.
Oh, okay, yeah. You're the one I sent the letter to. Okay,
right.
Sure, yeah. All
okay.
Right, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Blank, Brent.
Okay, well, it's been,
Ohio.
Kentucky.
Or Kentucky.
Yeah. It's been a month since you got the letter. You know, you got other things on your mind, especially your wife. This will appear, first of all, it'll appear in Sports Collectors Digest probably, I don't know, 6 or 8 months from now. There's a pretty big lag period to the time they're done until the time they're printed. One of the side effects, which some guys really enjoy and some guys don't like at all, is you're going to get an increase in autograph requests.
Well, that's never been, I don't have a problem with that.
Good. Some guys have said that for a period of a month or so, they actually get maybe 3 or 4 times the requests they've had before. And most people, I think, seem to enjoy it. I think it's a good attitude.
Yeah, I don't have any problem.
Good. Tigers signed you in 1955. $35,000, is that right?
Right.
What, you're out of San Jose?
Yep.
You were stuck with them for 2 years. What's your opinion of that rule?
Well, I guess at the time I was... you know, you're young and you're enthusiastic, K-Line had gone through it and been allowed to play. And then in 56, I played quite a bit and looked like I was on my way. And at that point, I thought it was probably the best thing for me to do. But I guess in looking back, there was an awful lot I needed to learn about hitting the inactivity of 2 years, or the relatively lack of activity for 2 years, was probably not a good thing for me. It took me a couple of years, and all of a sudden I learned how to hit, and then I ended up getting rheumatic fever, and I was done with baseball.
Well, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I was traded at the end of the 62 season to Cincinnati. I'd played in the Texas League, first time I'd stayed healthy for a year, and I made the minor league all-star team and hit 319 at Albuquerque and dove in about 100 runs and just had a bang-up year and got traded since then. Got a rheumatic fever. Spring training was done.
Is that anything at all right there?
Yeah, so it sort of slowed it slowed my progress down. I think there's people who can overcome it. I felt at one time in 56 or 57, in 57 in spring training, that if they'd let, I had a big spring after, I hit 300 for him in 58 games in 56, and then I went right into spring training and had a big spring training and thought I'd won the job, and they said, well, we're not going to play you right off the bat, and the next 60 days come, and I go to bat 11 times, and I go to Charleston, and I went to Charleston, the association, and I wasn't happy being there. I thought I'd got a raw deal, but I hit over 300, and they brought me right back.
Mm-hmm.
I was there for about 45 days, and then I didn't play that much again, and then they traded me to Kansas City. So I don't know. I guess probably it would have been better for me not to have had to go through the bonus pool. I'd probably been better off, going right into the, starting out right out of high school out of into a B league or something and spent 2 or 3 years down, and I'd probably been a lot better off in looking back. Would I do it over again any different? No.
It's hard to tell that to an 18-year-old kid.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, in 56, you had really a heck of a year. You batted 319.
Yeah.
Your pinch hitting average for anybody in the league with over 15 pinch hit at bats, you had the highest average.
Yeah.
And you were extremely fast.
Yeah, I could run.
With all this going for you, and the Tigers actually not being a threat to do anything, it would seem like you'd have been given a little bit of shot. Who's your manager then? I should know that.
56 was Bucky Harrison. Bucky let me play quite a little bit, and only and there was a couple guys got hurt, and that's how I got a chance to play. Maxwell and K-Line both got hurt on a trip. They both ran in the wall, and so they let me play, and I screwed up a few times in the outfield, and at that time, Harvey Keene was, you know, the captain, team captain, and at in 56 we had a shot for fourth place money, they were afraid that I screw up in the outfield and cost them a ball game or two, so towards the end of the season they sat me down again. I played periodically, but in 57 when I, you know, I had the big spring following that up, I played all spring, and I think the only one that out hit me was Maxwell, and I was second him in RBIs. So I had a good spring, and I thought, well, you know, why not? You followed up what you did last year. Jack Ty was the manager at that time, and Jack was scared of his job. As it turned out, he had every right to be. He only lasted a year or so. And I think he was probably, and justifiably so, fearful of putting, me in the starting lineup. I just turned 20 years of age. And he was fearful of putting me in there, and so... I don't think he felt he could go wrong by using Tuttle or whoever the person might be, other than some kid who might screw up. And that was part of it. And of course, when I was sent out, I had only been to bat, I think, 11 times, and I don't think I'd had a hit. And so they sent me to Charleston, and John McHale, who was the farm director at that time, said, well, he says, I'm not going to take sides, but he says, I'll tell you what, if you go down there and do a good job, I'll have you back. Well, at the end of 45 days in the American Association, I was hitting about 320, and he brought me back. And I think after I came back, I think I hit about 280-something after I came back, so I think I ended up about 2-something for the year, but I hit about 280 periodically, once again, in and out, and the spot played me. And then, of course, they got rid of me over to Kansas City.
What did you think of the trade?
Well, it was a big disappointment to me because as a kid, I was still a kid. All I wanted to do was play in Detroit because I turned down more money to go with Detroit. Baltimore offered me damn near twice as much, but I wanted to play at Detroit. And then I'd been offered money under the table by a couple other ball clubs to go to the minor leagues and play and so on, And I wanted to play in Detroit. And so it was a shock. It's a time in your life that you seem to forget how you did feel. It's almost like it never happened, I guess.
It's a long time ago
now.
When you were going to the college in the offseason?
I went a couple of different years, 2 years in the offseason. I never finished. I finished probably about a total of about a freshman year.
How did the Tigers become the team you want to play for?
Well, just as a kid growing up, Newhouser, George Kell were my heroes.
Mm-hmm.
As a little kid,
And that's a familiar story. That's what I wanted to do. And I did something similar to you that didn't turn out nearly as well. The Giants had just moved to San Francisco, and they offered me a contract. It was not a bonus or anything like that. It was the least they could possibly get by. But I knew that two American League teams were also looking at me. I was a pitcher. And I knew, there's no question in my mind, that either one of those was going to offer me a contract. If that was the case, I'd be closer to getting to Detroit than if I signed with the Giants. So I turned it down, and nobody ever came up with any offer after that. It's good there's Tigers fans out there, though. I've been a Tigers fan all my life, too, so I can understand that.
There was something about it. I'm not quite sure. Kids, people said, why would you turn down more money to go with Ballmer? I said, I didn't like their hats. And I didn't.
That's as good a reason as any.
It's pretty stupid looking now. But that was the way you thought, And then of course, K-Line success, because I'd seen, and I'd been in the I played in the United States All-Star Game in New York 2 years after he did. And Reno Bertoia was a teammate of mine in the All-Star Game in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Reno had signed with Detroit, and so, you know, there's just, you know, different things that, you know, that made you, and plus they had followed me and wined and dined me, so to speak, since I was about just after my freshman year in high school.
Okay.
Yeah, they'd been very active. And then Charlie Gehringer was my coach when I was with the United States All-Star team in New York.
Uh-huh.
See, so there was a lot of, you know, just a lot of good connections there.
Well, you talked about, you mentioned Kalon and Bertoia. The Tigers really spent the money on the bonus kids along that period. They had Bob Miller and
Jim Brady.
Brady, right. Was Walsh truly a bonus player?
Walter?
Yeah.
I doubt it. Let's put it this way. I shouldn't say I doubt. Well, I'm sure Walter got some money, but it wasn't. It was probably under the table.
Okay. Yeah, he was up, I know, parts of 2 or 3 years there when he was only, you know, your age, 18, 19, 20 years old.
Yeah, Walt, big, strong kid and great arm, and but tend to be lazy.
That doesn't help. Is there one game that stands out in your memory? The biggest thrill or best game or something like that?
Oh, jeez. God, I know. I guess maybe, what the heck? I don't know. I suspect maybe my first big league hit was off of Bob Lemon.
That's
real.
Good start. I bet it was.
Yeah. And I'll tell you another thing was and I didn't get to do it, but I figured, hell, if I'm going to make it out, it might as well be the last one. But I faced him the last year Bob Feller pitched.
Mm-hmm.
He pitched the last game of the season against us, and I made the next to last out of the game against him. I wish I'd been the last out he'd gotten. I mean, what the hell, if you're going to make it out, he might as well be a trivia guy.
Oh, yeah. Who was the last out?
Huh?
Who was the last out?
I can't remember. I can't remember, but it wasn't me.
That was the next guy.
Yeah.
Who was the best player, or maybe more specifically the best hitter, I guess, you saw?
Williams, no doubt.
I think that's probably a pretty blanket answer.
Yeah, the guy was just incredible.
How about overall player? Williams, I said, was better than his reputation as a fielder, but still he lacked a little.
Yeah, the most talented guy had to be Mantle.
Overall?
Just got to give, yeah. I mean, he could go in the outfield, he could throw, and you know, yeah.
Remember J.W. Porter?
Oh, God, yes.
He's quite a character and just an awfully fine fellow. He told me that the best player in the history of baseball ever any time was Mickey Mantle in 1956.
That's right. He had a year. I look at the stats. I was looking at him the other day and what he, my God, nobody could afford to pay him today.
Oh, my Lord, goodness, could you imagine?
Yeah, that was an incredible year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he, you know, and baseball was very strong at that time. There was a lot of identity, and you know, there wasn't so many clubs, and it was baseball. I think was probably from, you know, the early 50s on through the early 60s. Probably was at the, I would say, quality wise, may have been the best it's ever been.
It looks, when you look back at the records, and of course, and I was growing up then, and everything seemed to be bigger than life. But each team had a couple of good pitchers, even the poor teams. Each team had hitters that were up and down the lineup. I mean, but there in Detroit, you had a guy like Boone batting sixth and sometimes seventh. Today, you've got two guys that hit, and you've got, if you're lucky, the team's got one pitcher who can go out there every 5 days and maybe do something.
Yeah, it's a strange. It's a lot different. Well, you know, it's. I would suspect in the 50s and early 60s, and for that matter, late 40s, you'd go through the entire American League, and you might find five guys that struck out 100 times. You know, it wasn't really an accepted thing in those days. You know, now you'll have five and six guys on every ball club that struck out 100 times. So it's a different game.
I wrote an article here. Oh, it's been a year or so ago on Nolan Ryan, and the premise was that he is not the greatest strikeout pitcher, regardless of how many he has. And some statistics I dug up today, the average spot in the batting order, you got nine guys batting, strikes out like 110 times a season. Back in the 50s, I think the average spot was like 60, I don't remember, this, I think it was like 68 maybe. And like in Walter Johnson's day, the average spot was like 50. So today they're striking out more than twice as much. And I guess it's, you know, the pitching cannot be that much better.
Well, no, it's a different game. You know,
yes.
It's, you know, everybody's a weightlifter and they muscle up, and it's just accepted. Now they're saying that, my God, we're lucky this guy strikes out because he doesn't hit in the double play.
That's
all the way you look at it.
It's only one out.
What color you paint it?
That's funny.
Where's J.W.?
He's not in Florida.
Yeah. Ray Herbert was in, but Ray's my next door neighbor where I live here.
Oh, he was one of my favorites as a kid, too.
Oh, yeah, well, and Billy Heff just bought property from me here. Bill's going to be moving up here in Levin.
Uh-huh, off a good pitcher to the zone one.
Yeah, and but Ray said, Ray was down at the meetings in Florida, and J.W. was there, and he said, God, he said, and J.W. was a character. He was the greatest batting practice hitter in the history of baseball. He was. He had more home runs in batting practice than probably anybody. Next time you talk to him, ask him about it.
Well, he is that reunion down there. He's invited me to come down both years, and it's the breeding season, and I can't get away for 2 or 3 days this time of year. He's working for, who's he working for? Sears, I believe.
Is that what he's doing?
I think so.
He was about probably 5 years older than I was, but see, J.W. was from the Bay Area,
mm-hmm.
and he was with the Emeryville American Legion teams that twice went to Cincinnati and won the national championships, and he was a legend in the Bay Area as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, you know, he grew up in that area with, you know, we all played high school ball against one another, Veda Pence and Frank Robinson, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite a hot spot.
Oh yeah, it was. I was in Los Altos when I was growing up, and
okay.
This is a few years after you, but
yeah.
It was still a good baseball area, a lot of talent.
Yeah, we'd go into hell. I remember we'd go up and we'd play Sacred Heart at Big Rec Park in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And shit, his last year, Gentile in high school hit about 150 because everybody paid 400 feet back. There was no fences. And they caught everything he hit. You know?
Yes. He was a strong kid, wasn't
yeah.
he? Who was the best pitcher you saw?
Oh, boy. The best I saw, I would suspect probably at that time, I got to believe Herb Score was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from what, Score. Yeah, you know, for those few years that I was around, he seemed to be a notch above.
A lot of guys said if he had not first had the eye injury, then the arm injury, that Koufax would be just considered another good left-hander. Score was going to be so much better than Koufax ever got to be.
Well, he had great fastball and a great curve,
mm-hmm.
and he threw strikes. You know, yeah, and he was a tough competitor. He was a good pitcher. Bunning was a good pitcher. Of course, you know, Frank Leary was a good. There was a lot of good pitchers, but I don't know. I guess if you think a guy that had outstanding, probably the best arm I ever saw was a kid in the Oriole organization that ever made it, and that's Steve Dolkowski.
I understand he was maybe, you know, the time of the day he might go 110.
I hit against him a couple of different times, and the guy was incredible, just incredible.
No control.
No, none whatsoever. Didn't care. He was a nut.
You throw that hard.
he was a beauty. Yeah, but the guy was. I don't know if anybody's ever thrown a ball any harder. And he wasn't that big a kid, but geez, he was just incredible.
I've read stories about him. I guess since he never made it, I never knew much about him as a kid. But I've read stories about him recently. He must have been fantastic.
Oh yeah, he's a great arm.
What did you think of your managers? You had three different managers.
Yeah. Well, no, I just had the two.
Well, Kansas City.
Harry Kraft was a lot like Bucky Harris, very quiet. Bucky was just a nice guy. You'd lose, and he'd leave the clubhouse whistling. You'd win, he'd leave the clubhouse whistling. And I think he, you know, he had a job in baseball, you know, his whole life. And apparently that was one of the reasons. He, you know, I guess he'd get fired, and he'd walk in, shake everybody's hands. He was never angry, and nice guy. Mm-hmm. He's a nice guy, you know.
It got him into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, 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 he's a good fella. He was... you know, he didn't say much. You know, he'd never said too much to me. You know, a little bit here and there. Never got on my case either. Jack was a coach when I was first came on the ball club, and an awfully nice fellow as a coach. But once he got the manager job, I don't blame Jack. He was nervous for his job, and as it turned out, he had every right to be because he was done, you know,
mm-hmm.
within a year or so. Best manager I ever played for, would both have been in the minors, and that was John McNamara and Norman.
Bill Norman?
Bill Norman.
Yeah.
I played for John 2 years, and just a great guy to play for, and so was Bill.
I understand that McNamara on probably a list of baseball's nice guys would be up to the very top.
Oh yeah, but a great guy for a ball player to, and I came across John at a time that I needed probably mentally a lot of help, and John was just great for me. I played him for him. I jumped the ball club. At Hawaii, I left and came home, and Kansas City didn't have anybody to take me. Finally, they got McNamara to take me out in Lewiston in the Northwest League, and I went out and played for John in half a season, and he turned me around. I played for him. I think I played 50 games and drove in around 60 runs for him, and just got my confidence built up. And then the next year, I went into the Texas League, and that's when I had the good year in the Texas League, followed right up.
Mm-hmm.
And learned a lot just because he built my confidence back up.
That's important. That's half the game, more than half the game.
Yeah.
What about Bill Norman? Where did you come up with him?
I played for him at Charleston, and mm-hmm. you know, and when they set me down, and I was, you know, I was down at the time, and Bill, you know, he'd sit with me. He wouldn't let me leave the clubhouse after games, and he'd sit and talk, and you'd have some rough days, and boy, he wouldn't let me leave there without it. And he's a guy, you know, he says, you should, you know, he says, there's no, he says, you're going to play a lot of years in the big leagues. And he built up my confidence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill was good for young kids.
That's an art.
Yeah.
You mentioned you don't mind the fan mail. Do you get much fan mail?
Yeah, I get it. I get probably half a dozen a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you sign. Is that what it all is, autograph post?
Yeah.
I guess this is getting to be big business today. Have you done any car shows?
I don't. I refuse to go to them.
Good for you.
Yeah, I've had a chance to go to a few of them, and I don't really. I'm not interested. I get these things that they want you to sign a contract, and you send all your cards and get paid for it. I'm not interested.
Good. I've got a son. He's playing college ball now. He's 19, but a few years ago, John Kruk was with San Diego, and Kruk was one of his favorite players, and he was appearing at a card show up at Cincinnati, I guess 5 years ago. So I took him up there, and he was pretty excited about seeing him. And we stood in line for a few minutes and got up there, and he gave the picture he had of Kruk to. Kruk never even looked up, you know, never said boo or anything, and he said that was just really disappointing. And
I've got some stuff that, do you remember the Free Press, sports writer, or not, but cartoonist by the name of Frank Williams?
Yeah, vaguely, yeah.
Okay, well, Frank did all the characters of back in the late 40s and very early 50s, probably for 5 or 6 years, on the sports page. And Frank moved up to where I live, and I got to know him over the years, and he gave me a number of the original on-canvas drawings that he did
before
they went to press.
Uh-huh.
And I've got them with, I've got one of them that he did, you know, back in those days, Neuhauser and Feller, always pitched on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they'd have the big matchup between them. And so it, one of them that he did was showed the two of them and shows they still have the patch on their uniform that they wore right after the war years, you know, with the flag.
Mm-hmm.
And so he I hosted where I live here 3 years, the alumni golf tournament. So I had Neuhauser and all these guys up, and I've known Hal for years. And so anyway, I got him to sign it, okay?
Oh, boy.
And I'd heard enough about Feller that you don't send him anything, that you'll never get it back. He'll take it and sell it.
Oh, is that true?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's pretty bad.
My goodness.
Yeah. And so I said, shit, I can't afford to send it to him because I'll never get it back. And so he was at a card show in Detroit here a couple of years ago, and I said, I'm going to go down and get the damn thing. And I had to pay $5. And I, when I got up there, I said, hi, Bob. You know, I said, I don't know, you probably don't remember me. I was with the... I said, and I told him, I said, you know, I made the next last out. And he looked at the thing I had. He said, where'd you get this? And I told him, he says, yeah. And he looked at it. And that was it. Took the $5, and, you know, and I thought, well, you son of a bitch. I felt the same way, you know.
Well, it's disheartening,
yeah.
I guess. I remember when I was a kid, I'd write over the years, I wrote 10 or 12 of them. Players that I liked and asked for autographs, and they always responded. My son's done that, and I guess he gets back. I don't do it anymore, but he usually gets back maybe one out of every five or six that he sent.
Oh, is that right?
It's pretty bad. He got, you know, Gary Carter was one of his favorites, and Carter, I think, signed things for him three or four times. He was always very nice about it, but he sent things to lots of other guys and never saw them again. Now, whether they weren't getting delivered to him or just getting pitched.
Keep them. I know. I go to the alumni meetings, and this is all they talk about down at Detroit. What are we going to get paid? What are we going to get paid for anything? And I know of one individual who has never returned or signed anything, keeps everything.
Well, who's that? If you can tell me.
Reno.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He's in Canada, isn't he?
Yeah.
How many
good fellow. And a good fellow, but just obsessed with not getting paid for anything. So he keeps everything.
I'll be darned.
That's what he told me, anyway.
Son of a gun.
Yeah.
You said earlier that if you went back to age 18, you'd do it just like this again.
Yeah.
Do you have any regrets?
Any?
Yeah.
I didn't work harder at what I was doing. It in a way, it came too easy for me early on.
Mm-hmm.
I had good abilities.
Well, yeah, back in those days, today I guess you'd have probably been signed for a whole lot more money and given at least a half a season in the minors with a different rule.
That's right.
But you guys are getting those money. You had talent that just couldn't find anywhere.
That's, yeah. I had a lot of things going for me. But in a way, it was probably, you know, and you think you're such a big shot at that age, you know. And my God, I look back now, and I was just a flat-out baby.
Yeah.
it's almost overwhelming to think that what I was doing when I was 18 years of age.
I look at my son, and he will kill to play professional baseball.
Yeah.
Probably do more than kill to play Major League Baseball. But he's 19 years old, and I cannot possibly envision him playing it. Now, I know there's kids out there doing it.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, of course, he's my... Boy, he'll be my baby forever, but I just can't imagine a kid that big. But when I was 19, that's what I wanted to do, and I could see no reason why I shouldn't be allowed
right.
to. It's, I guess it's your perspective.
Yeah, but I look back now, and I was, you know, just so incredibly young to be, you know, I mean, you know, I get out of high school, and 3 days later I'm in Detroit, and 2 days later I'm in New York, and you know, I wasn't allowed to stay out after 9 o'clock at night at home, and growing up, all of a sudden I'm tipping porters to carry my suitcase and, you know, eating at the finest restaurants. And, you know, I came from nothing, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, it was probably almost overwhelming. And, in fact, if back in those days, if they'd had if there'd been a school that they could send you to for, to indoctrinate you, I think it'd been a good thing, you know, and what to expect.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It would have had to have helped, but certainly couldn't have hurt. Okay, well, Jim, that does it. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, well, good time with you, Brent.
Would you like, before I submit this to the magazine, would you like to see a copy of it?
Yeah, send it on up to me.
Okay, a lot of guys are suspicious they're going to be misquoted because they have a history of it. But I'm not going to misquote anybody.
No, and, but yeah, I'd appreciate it.
I will. It'll probably take me several days before I finally get it typed up. Cause
what magazine is it?
It's called Sports Collector's Digest. It's
You obviously like to write.
Yeah.
And I've often wondered why somebody hasn't done a book exclusively on the Bonus Baby era.
You know, I have thought about that and thought about that, and I have really considered it. Right now, I just signed a contract by Friday to write a history of the Tigers, which would be a labor of love. But I have thought about that several times, just showing, you know, for every K-line, there were 20 Jim Brady's.
That's right.
And it's nothing against Jim Brady, it's just the kid wasn't ready.
Yeah.
That's an excellent idea.
Yeah, because there was, and it was an era of baseball that I guess we'll never see again. And it was an interesting time. And there's some interesting people that were signed, God.